Here on the Marijuana Agenda, the story of Billy Caldwell, the epileptic young boy from the United Kingdom, whose case galvanized support in the United Kingdom for medical cannabis. The latest news on this coming from the UK Independent says that medical cannabis could be available within the United Kingdom in just a few weeks, thanks to the attention this case has generated. Joining us via the internet, we have the chairman of the UK Cannabis Social Clubs, Greg DeHote, is on the line. Greg, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Russ. Thanks for having us on again.
Well, I've been fantastic. You know, we just passed medical marijuana in Oklahoma here in the United States. So, heck, if we can get medical marijuana in a place like Oklahoma, what's going on in the UK as far as getting medical marijuana? Tell our listeners a little bit the current status quo of medicine in the UK.
Before I do that, can I just check? Was that Oklahoma? Didn't they have like a grinder law, like, or if you had anything that made hash, you could go to prison for life?
Right. That is correct. They had a law that was manufacturing of hashish, and it was so loosely written that it could have been interpreted that the keef from your grinder was the manufacturer of hash. So yeah, that was a life in prison. I don't know that anybody ever got charged under that, but seems like a moot point now.
Yeah, like, well, if you could, that just shows you that progress is being made, like, and it's those echoes and those ripples from the States from when I was actually over there in 2011, we're feeling them now, like, movement has happened, we have moved forward, progress has finally come our way, and the UK government have been in a little bit of a frenzy lately. They've not known what to do. All these mothers have come out of the woodwork, and they've gone like, we are Legion.
Well, that was the big story that we caught over here on our side of the pond was the UK mum, Charlotte Caldwell from Northern Ireland, and her son, Billy. Can you give us an update on that story?
Yeah, so Billy was given a license by the NHS or an NHS doctor about 18 months ago.
And so the National Health Service, your health system there, a doctor. And how is it that a UK doctor?
I don't know how they did it. Yeah. I don't know how they did it. There is a real confusion over this, if I'm real honest. I think the oil that he was getting was being supplied by someone in Republic of Ireland, you know, south of the border. And like, I don't know how that, you know, works on terms of the NHS, but basically, they had a license for a while. They were doing quite a bit of press. I don't think the government realised quite how much attention they were gaining. And it got to the point where Hannah Deakin, the mother of Alfie Dingley, I think he's a six-year-old boy with intractable epilepsy, and you know, she's really gone through the official procedures for this. Her MP, her Member of Parliament, is actually sort of like the is quite a player in the government, I think. So he's I can't remember what he's the minister of, but he's been able to have some kind of influence in there to give this the attention it needs. And it's the demographic as well. I mean, this is a mother who has got a child who has got no other option. She's went to the Netherlands to get cannabis from Bedrocan, Bedrolite, which is I think it's high in THCA or higher in THCA. And that was what was working for Alfie. And he didn't have any seizures for a whole month. And when he returned back to the UK, they couldn't bring his medicine back. They applied for a license to bring it back, and it got rejected. And he got hospitalized five times within the first month.
So we left off with we were talking about Alfie. Do you think you can just jump right back into it?
Yeah, I'll jump in. So Alfie was taken to the Netherlands by his mother to receive Bedrolite, which is one of the Bedrocan medicines, which I believe is higher in THCA, to treat his seizures, because Alfie's got, again, epileptic seizures that don't stop, and he needs this medicine to actually be able to live a, you know, to be a normal functioning life. You guys have seen it over there in the States a number of times, you know, when Sanjay Gupta brought the story of, you know, Charlotte Figgy to the attention of the public, boom, it was that moment. And that's kind of the moment we've had with Alfie and Billy. It's like, sort of like double-headed it, like all at once, and it's sort of like, oh no, what do we do? And when they're looking at those stories, they're saying, you know, there's just a few cases. 200 mothers came forward with children in this situation. So the government were kind of in a corner, like, oh no, there's a lot of them. What can you do when you've got that many like mothers taking to the internet, posting pictures of their kids in the UK having seizures, when the government is saying this is a one-off situation with Billy Caldwell? That's what the original statement was. This is a one-off situation. Don't be thinking everyone's going to get one now. And it took 18 months before another mother was willing to go, right, I'm really going to push for this. And Hannah's gone over to the Netherlands. She's brought Alfie back. They've tried to apply for a license. The Home Office have denied it. Alfie is then, living in the UK without his medicine again. He's started having seizures. I think he had 5 in about 4 or 5 weeks that hospitalised him. And he, I've spoken to the family. The doctors said that, he's close to dying if he doesn't have the medicine that seems to be working for him. And the evidence is that he was in the Netherlands, it was working for him, and he didn't have any seizures. And something I actually learned is, on the same street, there was another mother from Ireland, Vera Toomey, who's taking her daughter, Ava Berry, over to the Netherlands to receive the same medication. You know, these medical marijuana migrants are, even happening within Europe. And it's only a 45-minute flight away, the Netherlands is to England and Ireland. It's not very far at all. The fact that you can actually fly to somewhere nearer than driving to somewhere in your own country to get this legally is preposterous.
Mm. Yeah, such a shame. And the attention that the Charlotte Caldwell, the Billy Caldwell case, is really really shining a light on this. And I think another thing that would probably shine a little bit of a hypocritical light on this is the fact that you've got GW Pharmaceuticals there that is working to deliver these cannabinoids in a pharmaceuticalized version, which the United States Food and Drug Administration just approved for 2 rare epileptic conditions. What's the status of getting that online, and is there a conflict? Is there a bottom line here that's keeping the plant material out of the UK?
Well, they seem to be we're the world's largest exporters of medical cannabis, legally anyway. Mm. I'm sure a lot of product is leaving California and reaching England, and I wouldn't want to guess how much is getting here, but there's a lot of people smoking Cali weed in the UK. GW Pharmaceuticals, they've been in a really tight situation because British Sugar, obviously a very well-known British company, they produce sugar from sugar beets. They were growing tomatoes in the greenhouse facilities where they're pumping the CO2 from the sugar production back into the greenhouses to heat them and to supplement the environment to grow the best possible tomatoes. Now, GW Pharmaceuticals, having Epidiolex get approved as a medicine, gave them the ability to expand their contracts for growing. And they've hired British Sugar as a grower contract. And they've replaced all the tomatoes in their greenhouses with CBD plants.
Wow!
And because it's much more profitable. If you look at the stocks of British Sugar, there is some activity around these times as well. To see that there's been an influence on it, up and down. But it's it's being legalized, and well, it's being legalized for a different class of people to make money out of it. The CEO of British Sugar is actually married to the drugs minister in the UK, who works in the Home Office. Like, the hypocrisy there is outrageous, beyond anything I've ever seen in another country with medical cannabis. Like, where you've got ex-politicians and ex-police chiefs in Canada who are running the top 21 companies or board mm-hmm. members of the top 21 companies. In the UK, the drugs minister, who was saying cannabis has got no medical benefit, her husband grows cannabis for medical reasons for the only licensed producer in the UK that the government have given a license to. She is directly benefiting from it. Her mm-hmm. husband's wage is growing medical cannabis, yet she can stand there and say medical cannabis has got no benefit in herbal form.
Amazing. Now, as we mentioned earlier,
it goes deeper, Ross. Let me just carry on. Like, well, this is a political scandal. It's absolutely outraged ordinary citizens of the public, not just the cannabis consumers, ordinary citizens of the public, where Theresa May's husband is the I think he's the chairman of or the or a controlling board member of Capital Investment Group. They are the largest investors in GW Pharmaceuticals. So again, while
the Prime Minister's husband is
the largest investor in GW Pharmaceuticals, and they're all investment firms. They're all pension. Get this. All the pension people that are paying into their pension in the UK, those pensions are being invested into GW Pharmaceuticals. So why they're having reefer madness rammed down their throat and having families torn apart by the hate that's been put onto people who use cannabis, the pensions that they're investing in are being used to grow pharmaceutical medical cannabis.
Wow. And so you mentioned the people are waking up to this. They see it as a scandal, not just the folks that are in the cannabis movement, but the general public is seeing this as a scandal. We brought up earlier Oklahoma passing its medical marijuana, which nationwide in America is at about 93% support. Latest poll on legalization in America just came out at 68% support. Is there movement in the polling there in the UK for a popular support for changing these laws?
Medical cannabis, we were there 20 years ago. Like, really, we just didn't have the gusto that the American activists have had. Like, I think we came across hurdles that they weren't, you know, the walls weren't broken down at the time. And I just think it's taken another generation to come along and to really push and do something about it. Not just in activism, but in politics as well. A lot of the people that are trying to make a little bit of change in the areas that they can are younger people. The head of the Police Federation has turned around. He's got to be, you know, barely 40. He's turned around and says, I've got a young daughter. She's at university. I don't want her to be using unregulated, tested drugs. What are we doing? I can't enforce these laws if I don't believe in myself.
Now, another consideration about the support for this, I mean, here in the United States, it was always associated with hippies and liberals and left-wing thinking, and now we're seeing people like the former Speaker of the House, John Boehner, and other conservatives that are getting on board with this. How does that break down in the UK? I've seen, you know, people like Jeremy Corbyn and others on the left that are on our side, but is there any right-leaning supporters that we can look to in the UK?
Well, I've got to be honest with you, Russ. I think Jeremy Corbyn's been incredibly quiet on this issue, and I think like their slogan, "Labour for the many, not the few." I think I feel like we've been left in the few situation here.
Oh, okay.
I think Labour should have got behind this issue for the people. I think they're worried about losing their swing voters. I think their tune is going to change massively now. As you say, this is a conservative issue. This is a conservative policy regulating drugs. That's a very conservative policy, if you ask me. Perfect. Mm. Like you get to take control of the situation rather than obviously leaving it in the hands it is. But you can tax it, you can regulate it, you can say how you want the situation to be. And and we've had Lord William Hague, who was the former head of the Conservative Party, came out, I think it was last Saturday or last Sunday, in the Telegraph newspaper, which is a Tory, a Conservative newspaper, right wing. The people who were sort of like, you know, trying to influence him thought he was just going to come out and go, you know, it's time we do medical. But he just went the whole hog. He said, we've totally lost this war. He used the term war on cannabis. And, while the government have turned around for the last 10 years and said there's no war on drugs in the UK, for someone who used to be the head of the Conservative Party, who, you know, ran to be the Prime Minister, to turn around and say, what he said, like, it gives us as recreational, like, I'm medical, like, first and foremost, like, I need this to survive, I've got Crohn's disease, but I push the medical angle so much because the message I'm giving, like, I'm getting to meet a lot of politicians and people and ministers at the moment, who are, and lords and ladies who are involved in this process, and I'm saying, like, I would not be alive now if it was not for recreational growers, like, if it was not for people who like to get high on cannabis, who want to grow the best quality cannabis, I wouldn't be alive now, and I've been able to make so much change and help so many people because of that. So the fact people like me sometimes can't grow our own cannabis because we're, you know, unable to because we're physically too ill or we're not good enough to grow it for ourselves for the quality that we need or the quantity we need. We need some people that are able-bodied and have got the talent and the skill, and if they happen to be healthy people, we shouldn't be disregarding that. So I think that having the recreational part of the conversation, has been groundbreaking in the UK. I thought this was a couple of years off personally. I wasn't ready to stop. I'm still not ready to stop. Like, it's still a long way to go, but the conversation is well and truly open. And I'm having interviews with all the major press at the moment. I've just had an article come out in the New Statesman, which is the main political magazine in London. They're interested in doing some more articles because it's gone well. I was on the BBC for 45 minutes. I came in at the very last minute at 11:30 at night. I had to be at the studio at 8 o'clock in the morning. So it was quite an early start for me. I just got off a flight at 9 o'clock in the evening from meeting Suriname, that's a country in South America. I was meeting ministers from there in the Netherlands because we're helping set up a sustainable and green cannabis industry there to help provide jobs for people. So it's just been absolutely non-stop for me. And for the fact that I've been going further afield to be able to carry out my activism, that, God damn it, Russ, you inspired.
It's all my fault, right?
It's all your fault. Like, I go out my way to try and do whatever. You know, I've got ideas, and I've got, you know, I want to help build an industry, and I want to help provide jobs to people, and I'll go wherever I've got to do to do that. But I can't ever leave home base. You know what I mean? I came back, and I just saw the opportunity to do this. And again, in the last 10 days, I've not stopped since that newspaper article came out from Lord Hague. Things have just been moving. It seems like having that kind of level political traction, that's what's getting us somewhere. And now they're ready to talk about it, we've got to be ready to respond.
Yeah, and you mentioned there needing to be younger voices, new voices that are standing up for these issues and doing so not in a shameful way, being full-throated in support of this. And I've been, honored to be able to watch your progress as you've come up with the UK Cannabis Social Clubs and the work you're doing there in the UK. We're going to play some of the audio from BBC Two and Greg DeHoat's appearance on the program. That's coming up in Hour Two's Toker Talk Radio, available via podcast for the VIP patrons of the Marijuana Agenda. Go to mjagenda.com and sign up for a $4.20 or more donation per month to be able to access your own private RSS link to Toker Talk Radio's podcast. Or if you're listening live on 420 Radio, just stay tuned. That audio and more of my visit with Greg DeHoat will be coming up in the second hour.